GNC605. It's Thursday, August 26th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a program of the Tech Podcast Network. Everyone, I got a great show for you, and last day before I head home to Honolulu, got a lot to cover. Strap in. Here it comes.
Coming to you from a dimly lit hotel room with bad Wi-Fi and not enough power outlets, here's everyone's favorite jet-lagged geek, Todd Cochran.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from Washington, D.C. via the Geek News Central portable studio. Everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Todd Cochran. Of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. We, of course, want to welcome listeners from 170 countries worldwide that tune into the show one way or the other. If you're new to the show, we encourage you to, of course, subscribe to the podcast. You can do that via the second column of the website at geeknewscentral.com. So while you're there, make sure you sign up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains all the content that I'm going to talk about during today's show, and really signing up gets you embedded with us, so that first of all, you're reminded that there's a new show available and online, and of course subscribing gets the content downloaded automatically to your portable media device. Of course, we want to encourage you to watch us on the Tech Podcast channel on either the Roku or Boxy. That is a great way to watch the video portion of the show. Number of devices that we're going to be on is going to be expanding here shortly. My guys are finishing up code on a couple of new devices, and we're going to be submitting them and hopefully get them through the approval process. So we'll make an announcement here, hopefully shortly on that. Depends how long that process takes. But for at least now, Roku and Boxy is a great way to check the show out from a video perspective. Well, I'll tell you, lots of stuff going on here, folks. I've had a very busy week. I've been all over the Eastern Seaboard and back in really Washington, D.C. Going to spend the final day here tomorrow in some meetings, and then probably do a little bit of sightseeing, maybe go out to the new Space Air Museum out by Dulles, and then head home Saturday morning if everything, I think I'm scheduled to fly home, and then be home Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday I fly out to San Jose to go to the Set Top Box Conference. I'll be there Tuesday, Wednesday, then fly home Thursday late in the afternoon, getting home into Honolulu really way past the time in which we can do the show on Thursday. So expect me to record the show. I would expect maybe a Friday evening recording. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. I'll let you know on that. But one show from the studio in Honolulu next week, and where we're back on big fat bandwidth. Today's stream, last show, I was streaming the show with Ustream, with Verizon. And it didn't hold up. So tonight we're on the Sprint card to see if the video feed will stay online for the entire show and it doesn't get too choppy. I'm sure the guys in the chat room will let me know what it was. But I did get surprised tonight just as we were getting ready to start to do the show, because Ustream had completely revamped their website, so I was trying to navigate around, trying to figure out how to get the show launched, and that was kind of fun, and I hadn't heard about the update, but they've updated the website over at Ustream. Hey folks, as a reminder here, if you are new to the show, and you have not yet become a customer over at GoDaddy.com, I've got a great deal for you. If you're a brand new customer and basically have not ever registered for their service over there, you can pick up $99 domain names, .com domain names, by using my promo code GEEK199 if you're a new customer over there. And we want to encourage you, of course, to check out all the products and services provided by GoDaddy. They've got great hosting accounts. They've got virtual dedicated servers, all kinds of add-on products and services that really will get you dialed in to using a variety of net stuff. We'll actually talk about a new net service they're offering at the very end of the show. But definitely, consider checking out GoDaddy. And again, if you get to that checkout counter and your existing customer or even a customer that's looking to save some more money, Todd20 will save you 20% on a one-year shared hosting account. Geek5 will save you 15% on orders $20 or more. And all my codes can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Hey, one thing, you know, I didn't know what the response was going to be from the last show when I went into some of the survey responses, and I'm not going to go into any of those tonight. And I've been indifferent to the feedback. It's been good, eye-opening, for a better word. But I don't really want to condone the action that a couple of the, I don't know if they're new listeners or if they are long-time listeners, but it was not pretty. They left two voicemails that were, two different individuals left voicemails that were verbal abusive, very verbally abusive to me. And it's tough. You know, you guys are great. The audience is wonderful. I get hundreds and hundreds of emails of support and thank you. And when you get to... And I don't know if these guys were working together or what, but wow, my eyeballs were pretty wide open in their response. So the survey's going to wrap up today. I'm going to shut it down probably after the show or maybe tomorrow, and we'll give away the prize to those that have responded on the instructions after they filled out the survey. We'll shut that down, and then on the next show I'll give away a prize to one of the participants, but I do want to thank everyone for their feedback. It's been most welcome for sure. Moving on to more positive things, my session has been published by the folks over at Blog World, so I hope that you will consider coming out to Blog World, a new media expo in October. It's, I believe, the second week of October. Let me look at the dates here so I can give you the right info. It's going to be the 13th, the sessions are 14th and 15th of October. Actually, 14th, 15th, 16th, I think, or 15th, 16th is when the sessions are. Shows the same time. I believe I'm speaking on Saturday around noon. I think I have the first session after lunch. I definitely don't want to be sleepy for the session. It's going to be a great one. I'll have a link up to the information on it. I'll try to get that up in the show notes. But if you're coming out to Blog World and New Media Expo, both Angelo and is going to be Angelo, one of our, my team members at Raw Voice, he's going to be speaking as well, giving some instructions and on basically making your site more viable using WordPress for new media. And of course, I'm going to be talking a lot about what I call the triple play, and I'll go into that more at a later date. But look forward to seeing all of you that are going to be coming out to Blog World. So if you want to come out and you want to get registered, definitely do that soon. I think the discount pricing shuts down very soon. It's in Las Vegas in the second week of October, Blog World and New Media Expo. Well, I've got a bunch of more responses and folks that want to be tweeters for the show, and I'm going to be sending that info out to maybe tomorrow if everything works out. I've got some extra time tomorrow to potentially do that, so we'll be getting out the info on that and what that's going to really encompass. So I'm looking forward to getting that out. Hey, just as an update here, we've gotten more applications for an individual that wants, or actually up to five shows that I'm going to be auditioning, or individuals I'm going to be auditioning to become new executive producers here at Geek News Central, where we're going to be launching as many as five new shows before the end of the year, created by content creators that maybe you have heard of before and maybe you have not. But anyway, we're going to be working real diligently to get those shows ramped up, get them locked in. Have not started any of the follow-up process yet. I'll be starting to do that shortly. But if you want to produce a show here at Geek News Central and become an executive producer and be part of the GNC family, as far as a content creator, we're looking forward to doing that. But this is a real deal. You know, we're going to be launching, again, 5 new shows, and it won't be on subject matter that is, you know, that isn't going, hopefully will not cross into what we cover in this show. So we'll be talking about that as that process moves forward, and looking forward to launching those. Still waiting to make the announcement on our big news for CES 2011. I've actually got some paperwork into our legal counsel for review. I'm hoping to put pen to paper on that tomorrow and be able to fax that into the individuals at CES in order to make the announcement next week of what has been negotiated for CES 2011. I'm really, man, I'm pumped. I really am for what we're going to be doing, and some exceptional sponsorship opportunities for a number of companies that want to get in on the ground floor of this. And you'll kind of understand why when we make the announcement next week. But if you want info, you need to email me immediately. And you can do that right here at the show's email address at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, if you have comments on tonight's show, send them in to you call our voicemail hotline at area code 619-342-7365. Of course, a longtime sponsor, GoToMeeting, is really the absolute best online meeting conferencing system. It just works. You know, I've been to many webinars and run by a variety of hosts and services, and, you know, invariably something will fail, something won't work, someone has a hard time getting started, and, you know, we prove it month after month through our Tech Podcast Roundtable, where we'll have someone that has never used GoToMeeting ever, and they'll be a presenter, and within about 1 or 2 minutes of just kind of show them how the basics work, they're up and presenting their material on that monthly show. And it's really simple, folks, really. It's just with a single click, you can launch a meeting, and you can invite others to be part of that, to see your screen or see theirs. And it's got voice IP conferencing built in. It's a piece of cake to use. And it's a great value as well. Really, if you cannot save money with this product, then I would have to say prove it, because it really is that useful, and you'll use it in ways you never would imagine in having meetings with individuals. You don't have to get in a car, don't have to get in the airplane, so forth. But as a listener of the show, you can get a free 30-day trial by going to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's by going to gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. GoToMeeting is an application that resides on all my desktops. I use it every single day. And I cannot endorse this any more, I guess, for a better word, than what I am right now. So definitely check it out. Again, gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Okay, I'm going to get into the content tonight. I got a stack of stuff here. And before I do that, don't forget the Cafe Press site has our Ohana store. You can go over there and pick out Ohana wear by going to cafepress.com/Ohana store. You know, after months and months and months of people asking me, please, please get us T-shirts, please get us something we can buy for the show, the manager, Sam, over there is basically informing me, Todd, we've done some sales. It hasn't been super high numbers, but based on the number of folks that had requested an Ohana store, I'm just a little bit surprised that more of you haven't went over and taken advantage of it. If you want more designs and different types of shirts and stuff, let us know, but definitely check that out. Part of the proceeds through sales for the Ohana store is split between Sam and I. Just so you know where the profits go. So feel free to go over there to the Ohana store. And, of course, check out all our offers at geeknewscentral.com/offers. Let me look at my notes here and make sure that I've gotten everything covered. And I think I have. So, Podcast Pickle, I am in the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. That's where I'm at. So someone was asking me in chat, where are you? Not in Texas this time. My trips to Texas have diminished, and we need to talk, Mr. Podcast Pickle. I have an email from you, and yes, we have to get followed up. I've just been crushed. Absolutely crushed. All right, let me see here. We do have some comments at the end of the show. No voicemails, per se. And of course, we want to thank Trucker Tom for his rendition, opening rendition of the show for the show while I'm on travel. I want to thank him for that, of course. But let's start right off and talk a little bit about the FCC and a current court ruling. The FCC is pushing back against a court order that has dealt them a blow. Basically, it's a court case where, for example, in the case that was in question here was, I think, the Tony Awards or something that was on TV, and one of the participants, I think it was Cher, was using a lot of the seven words you should not use on national television, and the FCC had fined Fox under what they're calling the fleeting expletive indecency rule. Well, what has happened is a court has basically said, no, you cannot fine Fox under this fleeting expletive. I said it the first time, right? Expletive rule. And so they're asking now for a rehearing of the case. And they're arguing that the Second Circuit Court of Appeals puts the government in a bind. Oh, for shame that the government would be put in a pinch, be in a bind. So the Second Circuit's panel's decision appears to effectively preclude the commission from enforcing federal broadcast indecency restrictions unless it can develop a new policy that de-emphasizes context in order to survive the panel's vagueness analysis. And I guess this is basically the court had basically said that your rule is too vague. It's not clear enough. It's up to interpretation. You need to have some more definitive rule. So the FCC's top attorneys are protesting. But at this point, the court has ruled. So I guess for a short term, at least, there is going to be a lack of enforcement on the FCC when it comes to television networks being sanctioned for using swear words that they're not allowed to use. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out and how this appeal goes, or if the FCC is able to get their act together and rewrite the rule. How many of you have been to a movie recently? It's been a long time since I have been to a U.S. movie theater. I think the last time I went, I paid, how much did I pay? $7.50, I think, maybe $6.75 for a primetime movie. But national averages right now is that in the box office, $10.61 is the cost of a 2D movie. And I guess 3D movies are increasing as well. They're saying that the U.S. movie ticket prices have had the biggest hikes in history, where the prices continue to go up at an extreme rate, with average admission costs increasing more than 40 cents in 2010, with a growth of about 5%. So, you know, you think about that. If they're raising the cost of movie tickets during a down economy, it makes a lot of sense for them to, or maybe it's just because they're trying to make up for lost sales and folks that aren't actually going to the movies. But they are also, and I didn't know this as well, that movies that are in 3D are getting a premium, where some of those movies costing as much as $21 to attend for single admission tickets. So pretty amazing, and just makes you want to stay home and watch a pay-per-view, or better yet, pick up Netflix, which now works on your iPhone or your iPad. That was announced today. So now you can get Netflix in your pocket. And this is a update to its iOS app. So now you're going to be able to watch Netflix on the iPhone and iPod Touch compatible players. So I guess it was already on the iPad, but now it's just for the iPhone and iTouch, which has been iPod Touch has been updated. So good for Netflix. And looking at the review so far, everyone's saying pretty good. It works out decently. So I'm sure that you still can't do this via 3G. You probably have to be on a Wi-Fi connection. And if the Wi-Fi connection in this is like this hotel room, you won't be watching no Netflix movies via Wi-Fi, that's for sure. So, but run out there and grab that if you're an iPhone user. Right, it appears that the next week is going to be a big week for Apple there, and actually this is kind of exciting because I'm going to be in San Jose on Wednesday when they have their big announcement. They're having their annual music event. This is an event where things are like the iPods are typically announced. New iPods are typically announced. They're expecting as well the very high potential that Apple is going to announce their new iTV. And if they do that, then what that's going to mean is that there's going to be a mad rush on the Apple stores, me being probably one of them, to run down and get the latest Apple, if it's either Apple TV or Apple iTV. But it's being rumored 99-cent movie rentals, as well as there might be an update to the iTunes storefront where they will be actually making the site a little more social. I'm adjusting the camera here, folks. Sorry about that. There's also the potential of the ability to sync your iPhone and iPod over the air instead of having to sync it with a cable. This would be big. This is the rumors that are kind of coming out. We will know on September 1st when they make the announcements, but I'm pretty excited. I'd like to see what's going to happen with the new Apple TV and how they're going to integrate that into the App Store. And they may just announce it and maybe just be a matter of it going to be available soon. But, you know, we've been keeping our ears pretty close to the, you know, listening real close to see if we can find out if any companies are building any special apps for it. And so far, nothing. We haven't heard any, you know, any, I'm sure if a company was given dibs to develop apps for the new Apple TV, as being rumored, they would probably be sworn to secrecy and would want to keep quiet because they know that the impact of being on the device in the App Store first is going to be. I would imagine what will happen is that all iPad apps will probably automatically work on the new Apple TV or iTV, whatever they're going to call it. So time will tell on this. We'll wait till next week. I just wish Google TV would hurry up and get here because I really think that it's going to be a much richer experience with a lot more options, and you're not going to be locked behind the walled garden of the folks over there at Apple. Big deal happened yesterday for those of you that are Gmail users. Gmail was updated where now you are able to essentially make phone calls from Google. You can use the Google Talk to actually make inexpensive phone calls to other phones in other countries and right from your Gmail system or Gmail interface. Google reported that over 1 million Gmail calls were made during the first day. And that's significant. Over 1 million calls placed from Gmail in just 24 hours. Google had tweeted this Thursday, and they're very pleased with the number. If you think about that, there are around 300 million people in the United States. If the average person makes 10 calls a day, does the average person make 10 calls a day, even if you're at your work? That's still a decent percentage, as you know, from a first day standpoint. So we'll see what type of impact that Google is able to make through Gmail. But time will tell. Have you made a phone call with Gmail? Did you try it out yet? Are you going to try it out? Have you deposited money to have on your account so that you can make international calls? Definitely going to have to check it out. I have not done so, largely because my bandwidth situation has been horrible. Hey, Ford announced today that they are doing something very innovative on the assembly line. They are now going to be uploading the sync system or sync software directly to the cars on the assembly line. I guess this is the first time that this has ever been done. They are not going to have to plug it in and have some sort of device there to upload it. It's not going to be part of the assembly. Probably someone's got to push a button or something to get it started. But they're just talking this up big time by saving money, saving time, sending piece parts, streamlining manufacturing, the whole nine yards. So the first facility is going to, where would it actually say the first facility was? Which vehicle? It doesn't matter. But anyway, This is an effort by Ford to standardize the SYNC infotainment system and make it basically the same across multiple vehicles. So pretty exciting stuff from SYNC, and it's actually going to be going into the 2011 Ford Edge will be the first vehicle that will be getting the software uploaded automatically. You would have thought they'd have been doing that already, but I guess not. Well, this should not come as any surprise, and I warn you guys, please be careful when you're sharing USB devices and sticks with family members, coworkers, finding USB sticks. You should never, ever, if you ever find a USB stick somewhere, just don't stick it in a laptop. You know, be very careful out there, because it's saying now, via Computer World, that 1 in 4 worms are being spread through infected USB devices. The flash drive attack vector remains popular, and it says huge. Now, there was news today about a 2008 attack on a military network, which breach was caused by a USB drive. But, you know, they're saying now for the average company, business, individual, that there's a huge number of infections happening through USB devices. And, you know, it doesn't help that there's USB drives coming out of foreign countries that mysteriously have been loaded with malware and so forth. And we've seen a number of those incidents happening. Usually those devices are pulled from the shelves pretty quickly. But you never know. Just make sure you get your USB drive from a reliable source. Someday, we're going to be buying USB drives that have some sort of a, you know, security stamp on it to prove that they're malware-free. But only time will tell. Hey, Canon has introduced the EOS 60D DSLR 18 megapixel and HD video camera. So this is new. This is the EOS 60D, and maybe our resident camera expert Andrew will weigh in on this camera. I have not made the jump to a higher body DSLR yet. I've kind of been holding off. They haven't put the price on this, but the EOS 60D has been designed to offer image quality and full HD video features that that we're all looking for. And I was going to scroll down and see if it actually was doing a 1080i. But, it says it's going to be priced. The body is going to be, the body only is going to be about $1,100. And if you want their basic starter lens, the price is going to go to about $1,399. So I'm looking forward to seeing how the Canon 60D. EOS 60D stacks up compared to other cameras that Canon has, but this is the newest camera by the folks at Canon. Hey, moving on here, over at Computer World, and in big news today, it's made a lot of headlines across many, many sites, and something I'm very excited about. Well, and really, it was kind of a cheesy announcement in a way. A lot of news folks got sucked in. The H.264, basically the folks that control the H.264 standard, and it was specifically MPEG LA, is a firm that controls the licensing for a number of video and other standards, announced today will never charge any royalties for internet video encoded using the H.264 standard that Apple favors, as long as that video is free to end users. So if you put a video up on the internet that's free, it appears that the H.264 standard is not going to be licensed as expected here in a couple of years. But they had already seen, here's the thing, MPEG LA is only in control of this standard, I believe, until 2015. And there was already basically a, they weren't going to start charging anyway until after 2014. So really the announcement is kind of moot point. Now, depending upon whether or not MPEG LA continues to control the licensing after 2015 or not is another issue, but this could really derail to a certain extent some of the initiatives by Google in particular. It's only time will tell, because you know a lot of folks were weighing in and thinking that they would go to the OGG format, and of course the WebM format that was being produced by considered by Mozilla, and the VP8 format by Google. So only time will tell on this. But this was a pretty big announcement, and I think it bodes well for all of us that encode videos no matter what. But a royalty-free H.264 may help the HTML5 standard as well. Only time will tell, but I'll keep you advised on really the ongoing discussions on this. Hey, I found a new website today, and it's actually an msnbc.msn.com website. This is kind of funny. It's cosmiclog.msnbc.msn.com. Why don't they just get rid of MSNBC and do cosmiclog.msn.com? I don't know, but anyway, there's an article today about some new planets that have been spotted by the Kepler Planet Hunting Probe. And these two planets that are circling a star have a very interesting orbit. They change orbits. They basically they interact, and then it's really kind of odd how these two planets interact. But write up today on a number of sites and talking about a potential Earth-like planet that's in that same system. So I have this link up in the show notes where you can go in and read all the details. Now, I think most of you will laugh about this. It's this article or on ArsTechnica.com. It's talking about how the Government Accountability Office, GAO, have come out with a report saying that cell phone bills have fell 50% in the last 10 years. Now, I'm thinking back to what I was paying for a cell phone bill 10 years ago, and I'm thinking about what I'm paying now. My cell phone bill has went up. But what they're saying, if you factor in inflation, cell phone bills are actually 50% cheaper than what they were 10 years ago. So does that mean I would be paying $200 and some if we factored in inflation? You know, the inflation's already been factored in. So, you know, I don't get it. I really don't. But anyway, yes, they're saying our cell phone bills fell 50% in the last 10 years. You guys go out to your, if you have any records, pull out your cell phone bills and tell me what you were paying 10 years ago. And then pull out your cell phone bill that you have today and look at what you're paying today. Now, we know that only four companies in the United States control 90% of the wireless market, U.S. wireless market. So we have lots of competition. And this is GAO, so where, you know, there is a wide enough competition. And, you know, there's, you know, I don't know about that. How many, for those of you that live outside the United States, how many wireless companies do you guys have to choose from in your area that have viable market plans that reach across your entire country? Okay, so any 50%, you're saving lots of money, folks, on your wireless. Hey, in some real nice news today, Wall Street Journal Health section has a article about scientists have been able to create a new kind of artificial cornea. What they're doing is inserting a sliver of collagen into the eye, and this coaxes the eye's own natural corneal cells to regrow and restore vision. This is a miracle, folks. It worked in the first stage study of 10 patients in Sweden. Research reported Wednesday in the Journal of Science Translational Medicine. So they're saying larger studies are needed, but it is a step towards developing an alternative to standard cornea transplants, which aren't available in much of the world because of the shortage of donated corneas. Now, when my father died, he had a donor card, and we know that his corneas were contributed or basically donated, and we'd actually gotten a letter back from the individual who, of course, no names apply. We know that the individual that my dad's corneas went to use, and today are essentially, being put to good use by an individual that needed a cornea. So, you know, I don't know every person's beliefs and, you know, their thought process on donating organs is all different. I have a organ donor card, and they can, if something happens to me, they can have what they need and can use. And I encourage all of you that have thought about donating an organ to consider it. This is obviously, corneas are in big demand, and many folks that get cornea transplants will often need another cornea in 10 to 20 years. There's just something about the cornea, way the corneas work, and folks that are affected by it will often need another one. So I don't think there will ever be a, we'll ever fill all of the need, but we know that vision today depends on healthy corneas. And so this is great news, though, that they are able to potentially here create a new kind of artificial cornea through this new process, and it may be something that will be widely in use here soon to deliver corneas in, again, those parts of the world that are running on shortages of them because of donated organs. You know, in Japan, very taboo to donate organs. There is a lot of people that die there waiting on a transplant because they never get one, and it is kind of odd. I think my wife is a organ donor, but I don't think most of her family is in Japan, just because it's, you know, I don't know what the cultural representation is. Maybe someone that knows can tell me, but I know they have a huge demand for transplant organs in Japan, and it really is a severe lack of them. All right, let's move on to another topic here. Hey, Microsoft apparently has leaked the Internet Explorer 9 look, and it looks pretty much, you know, kind of like Chrome to effect. The new Internet Explorer 9 user interface touts new features such as a quick release tabs and a Chrome-like address search bar. So a few little tidbits there, and we've seen a few peaks here and there, but those of you that are IE fans, this could be what could be coming to a desktop near you soon. All right, how many of you have a Garmin GPS? I do. I haven't checked the number yet, but owners of Garmin GPS navigation units should check whether their devices are among the 1.25 million units Garmin has recalled based on fears of overheating and fires. Only 10 devices are reported to have caused actual problems, resulting in no injuries, but Garmin stressed that a defect in the supplier's part could lead to a fire hazard in rare circumstances. So of those 1.25 million units, 765,000 of those were sold in the United States. So if you're a listener outside of the United States that has a Garmin, please pay attention. But the models affected are some of the units of the Garmin 200W, 250W, 260W families, and a few of the 7 Series. I have a 7 Series one. I'll have to check it out. And so anyway, be aware of that. And again, a potential fire hazard. Not a good thing to have a fire in your car while you're driving around. It's a little bit of a problem. But if you have a Garmin GPS, definitely look at this article and make a, you know, determination if your device is on the recall list. There's a very cool video that I found over on Slashdot. It's actually an article linked in Slashdot. And here's a little tidbit of fact. Since 1980, over 500,000 asteroids have been discovered, mostly between the orbits of Mars and Jupiter. And now they have a video where you can see this activity condensed into a few minutes. At full resolution, it's a mesmerizing experience as new discoveries are added, and the video makes it possible to see patterns in the discovery position. For example, a large number appear in between the line between Earth and Jupiter as astronomers start looking for smaller Jovian moons after Voyager's visit to the system. So check this video out. It's a kind of a time lapse on the number of asteroids that we found. It is really cool. It is one of the cooler YouTube videos I've seen in a while. I'll have the link in the show notes. Let me back up. Tech Dirt is a site that I read almost on a daily basis, and they have a fair amount of traffic, and they get a fair number of legal challenges. There has been a new lawsuit filed, a legal threat has been delivered to Tech Dirt, asking them to take some comments down from an article that was written in 2004. Apparently, an individual who is named in this threat had some disparaging remarks made about him, again, 6 years ago. So he lives in the UK, and the what they're going to do is this individual and a lawyer in the UK are going to try to get the entire TechDirt site taken down. Now, while we all know that the chances of this happening are pretty remote, there was a new law passed recently. It's called the Speech Act. Now, the Speech Act is essentially a law that bans firms from making legal threats. See here, let me read this so that you can get the full details of this. But it's basically, it prevent, okay. Most importantly, this threat is coming from the UK, and the lawyers insist that they will take it to the court in the UK. That makes it rather timely and newsworthy for an entirely different reason. Just a few weeks ago, the Speech Act that was passed into law to protect against libel tourism, as a congressional record shows, the law was specifically designed to protect U.S. businesses from libel judgments that violate Section 230. I'll go into Section 230 in a second. And the bill's backers explicitly call it libel judgments made in the UK. In other words, the Speech Act explicitly protects TechDirt from exactly the sort of threat that the lawyers that represent this client are making against them. So in the Section 230 of this law, it says that they are protected due to a lack of personal jurisdiction, which again is supported by the recent passed Speech Act. It is entirely possible lawyers were unaware of the Speech Act, but it does seem like a firm making legal threats in a foreign country should be expected to have research the legal barriers to making a claim before using billable hours to make threats they cannot back up. So basically, this libel tourism protects sites like TechDirt from being taken down by a foreign court. We'll see how this all works out. I'm going to do more study on this specific law, because I was not familiar with it up until tonight, and see if I can get you some more research on it and talk about it a little more in a later show, because it's significant. You know, because how can you expect to defend yourself in a foreign country if a little site like, you know, for example, Geek News Central, if I was facing a lawsuit in the UK, that's pretty hard to fight against, because can I hire a lawyer in the UK, travel, defend myself over something that was on a website that happened 6 years ago? A little crazy if you ask me, but only time will tell how this all works out. But it does show that we're getting to a point in time now where there's going to be a lot of gray in amongst the black and white on what's enforceable and what isn't, as being able to take websites down and taking actions against individuals and so forth. Only time, we'll see how it all works out, but I could see a lot more of these foreign types of lawsuits happening. Maybe someone in the UK can kind of clue me in onto, you know, how the process would work from your side of the house. If you're going to try to get something taken off a site, what type of actions would you take to have something removed from a U.S. company's website? All right, let's move into something a little more fun here. BMI has appealed a ruling that lets venues route around the BMI. As you guys remember, we talked about a court ruling back in July where DMX, who is a commercial provider of music to different types of restaurants and bars, had won a lawsuit which would allow it to deduct money from the license it had to pay the BMI if it did a licensing deal directly with a BMI artist. In other words, this company, DMX, pays BMI an annual fee for licensing of music to move into bars, clubs, and so forth. So long as DMX signed a deal directly with an artist and paid the artist directly, they could deduct that money from the money they pay the BMI, because they're paying the artist directly. So the BMI has responded by saying, on behalf of songwriters, composers, and music publishers, we will not allow this ruling to stand without an appeal, said Del Bryant, BMI President and CEO. Our writers and publishers should not be expected to lose more than half of their income from DMX based on the court's erroneous holdings, which substantially reduce the value of their creative efforts. Now, here's the question. If an artist knew that he was going to get 50% less from DMX, why would they ever sign? It makes no sense, right? Unless the BMI would lose 50%. that's what it is, or more. You know that these artists aren't getting their equal fair share from these organizations. You know, this is ludicrous, if you ask me, that DMX would, or not DMX, but BMI would say, oh, this, our artists are going to lose money. If I make a direct deal with a company to get paid a royalty, don't you, you know, going through a third party, you don't know what the, there's no transparency there. You don't know how much the BMI takes for a cut. That's probably something that I'd like to get more into at some point. But anyway, they're going to appeal the ruling. On the music front again, and this is actually a good thing, raising money to put famous classical music recordings into the public domain. There's a fundraiser going on. They're going to try to raise $11,000. They're going to hire an orchestra to record a number of symphonies. What they're going to try to do is, we know that if an orchestra plays any type of a classical music, the classical music itself is not necessarily in a copyright anymore, but the performance is, so you still can't put that out in the public domain. So if they wanted to play all of Beethoven's music, they then the orchestra would claim the performance rights on that. So again, you couldn't go out and share that. So what they're going to do is they're going to raise $11,000, and they're going to hire an orchestra to record these public domain symphonies, then release the copyright on the sound recordings to the public domain as well. It sounds like a great idea. I hope they have good luck in raising money. I'll have a link up to the article on that. If you're a classical music fan and you want to go over and give them $10, it might be a worthy donation. Hey, let's talk a little bit about invasion of privacy a little bit. Airport scanners are, you know, the rage now. We all go through and you have to put your hands up and they tell you to stand still and they take an x-ray vision of you and it's, you know, they see through your clothes, they can see your body and so forth. Well, it appears that over 500 new x-ray devices have been sold to airports around the country that do a lot more than x-ray our bodies. They x-ray vehicles as they're entering airports. So they're showing what, you know, first of all, x-raying a vehicle with you in it, think about the energy required to see through a vehicle. First of all, you're in a steel vehicle, right? And they're going to x-ray the vehicle with you in it? I don't think so. That's a level of radiation that just, to me, does not seem acceptable. Now, if they're going to make you get out of the vehicle, walk away to a safety zone where you're behind a lead wall or something, they're going to x-ray your car. That's one thing. But with me in it, no. They've got pictures here of border crossings and these x-ray machines being used in Iraq and Afghanistan. But they're selling 500 of these to airports, which are going to be using to scan vehicles as they come in and out of airport systems. When is it going to stop? This is a little bit over the top here on scanning vehicles. Now, I don't have nothing to hide. Don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things that where's it going to end? You know, could one of these things be put on the side of the road and you get x-rayed as you drive by? You know, we're all going to have to start wearing those radiograph Geiger counters, basically one of those things that measure how much radiation exposure you've had. So I think it opens a lot of questions of how this is going to be used in the United States. You know, it's illegal to search a car without a warrant, right? They can't open your trunk unless you give them permission or a law enforcement agency has a warrant. Now, we know at the same time that there's been a judgment made on tracking your vehicles. Now, police departments can come and put a GPS tracking device on your vehicle without a warrant. They can come into your driveway and put a GPS tracking device on your vehicle to track you wherever you go. And again, they don't need a warrant to do it. It's part of an investigation, a new ruling by the courts. Does that scare you a little bit? Now, if the police have a warrant and a judge has signed off on it, then maybe I'm a little more open to it. But just the ability of the police to put a GPS tracking device on your vehicle is pretty scary. If they can put a GPS tracking device on your vehicle, what's to say that if you have an OnStar system or some sort of other technology in your vehicle, why the police just can't have that tracked without a warrant? So, once again, you know, we live in a country that's supposed to be free and we're supposed to retain privacy rights, but how far are they going to take this? Does it bother you guys? Does this scare you at all? You know? Now I understand the need for security in airports within the terminal. I can understand that commercial vehicles are going to be going in and around airplanes. You get the driver out of the vehicle. It's a commercial vehicle. You have it x-rayed to see what it's got in it. Okay, it's good. It saves time. Maybe they don't have to go search the vehicle. Or they see something funny. They pull it off the side and they search it. That's going on to an airfield. That's not me driving my car up with my kids in it with a suitcase in the car in order to get out and have my car x-rayed when I'm going into the airport. But they've sold 500 of these already. It should make all of us go, If you remember, we're protected underneath the Fourth Amendment that requires a warrant for search of our vehicles and, you know, of our houses. The Fourth Amendment. We're constitutionally guaranteed the right to privacy and unreasonable search and seizure. But boy, oh boy, things continue to be whacked away at here, folks. It really, really does. If this doesn't disturb you, I would think nothing would. All right, let's go back to pure tech. You know, one of the reasons why I've been holding off moving up to an iPhone 4 is because I've really been eyeing the Droids lately. And but also, one of the reasons I've been holding off is I ran my phone completely down even with my external charger. So I've been waiting for a cool charger that I could, you know, basically kind of like my MiFi, not my MiFi, the thing that I have for my, the one that I broke twice, something equivalent to come out. Well, the Mili is out, M-I-L-I. It's $85 on Amazon. I don't know who makes this. I don't know if it's the same company that makes the one for the iPhone. But the Mili is available, $85. It's it'll give you a doubles the battery life of your iPhone 4. It makes it a little thicker and bigger, but boy, oh boy, it gives you a lot of battery power. So that's out online now and available. I'll have a link up to it in the show notes for you so you can check out. Scientists have been busy. You know, you got to love the geeks. Folks were looking for a 1970s Soviet moon rover, the Lunokhod 1. And they've been looking for it through pictures that have been coming back from the Lunar Orbital Reconnaissance Vehicle, whatever that thing is. It's taken pictures of the moon at this point. And they've tracked it down. And now some folks at the Apache Point Observatory have been hitting the Soviet moon rover with a laser and been able to confirm its location thanks to bounce-back photons picked up by the observatory. Now they're saying, now we have a precise point on the moon to aim at. It opens the doors to all sorts of science, including gravity, planetary wobbles, and the moon's course through space. Don't we already have a something on the moon where the scientists can shoot a laser at? Why is this new? I thought, or did America keep that location secret? But apparently these folks at the Apache Point Observatory are pretty proud of themselves being able to study the moon through bouncing a laser off this 1970s Soviet moon rover, the Lunokhod 1. How would you like to strap yourself into a rocket, actually stand up in a rocket, and be sent 120 miles and up and break the plane, actually 120 kilometers, and get up into the get up officially into space. Basically, this rocketeer has created what is I would call a well, for a better word, your spam in a can. you actually stand up inside a rocket at the top. You have a little observatory window, and below you, directly below you, is a rocket that is going to punch you into the lower altitudes of outer space. Yeah. Within weeks, Peter Madison and Christine von Bergsten will launch the first standing room only spacecraft. Their rocket is a cylindrical capsule that snugly fits around a standing person with a clear plexiglass dome so that the astronaut can see out. For this first test flight, they're going to be putting in a dummy. They're not going to go in it themselves. I think they are smart in putting a dummy in this, and they're going to hope that they can get it to 20 kilometers. Skeptics in the crowd doubt whether this thing is going to make it barely off the pad without crashing, but boy, this is going to make for some impressive YouTube video, that's for sure. So we'll hope that that is brought to us via YouTube in a few weeks. But can you imagine? Think about some of those early rocket launches that the American Space Program did. The rockets went up and they went down and they rolled over and they crashed and they blew up. You're not going to put me spamming a can in one of these things. Not going to happen. Not in 100 years. Okay. How many of you use Groupon? Groupon. Groupon has announced close to $500 million in sales since its launch. Groupon is a site that uses web-powered group buying. And it says it's been growing at an exponential rate over the past 6 months. It expects to end the year with as many as 25 million subscribers and $400 million in gross sales. This is impressive. I was like, I think we talked about this once before, but I guess they have all kinds of offers, and then the more people that buy it, the cheaper it gets. And they offer in-store coupons as well. How many of you guys are your wives using this? Does anyone have any, you know, give me the details. I'm going to turn my wife on to it. My sister, I know my sister has become quite the coupon. She's a power coupon user, for a better word. And maybe I can get some info out of her on this thing. But Groupon, Groupon.com. One thing I'm looking at for CES 2011 is how I can really ramp up the old bandwidth availability. And the only way I think I can really do that is renting multiple prepaid mobile cards. And the folks over at Virgin Mobile USA has reduced the price of its highest capacity prepaid unlimited mobile broadband service to $40 per month with no contracts. Now, while you have to buy the $150 or $160 device, this is a great deal. You don't have to sign up for any plan. You can buy a month's worth of service for $40. And, you know, I'm doing the math here and trying to figure out where the breaking point is. And I can probably buy about 10 of these, then go ahead and actually activate each of them for $40. And really, every person in the team will have, you know, equal amount of bandwidth, maybe get more than that, I don't know. But I'm excited about prepaid mobile broadband plans that are available, cards and stuff that's available. Verizon has recently modified their prepaid mobile data plan. And but it's still $80 for five gigs, and being that Sprint has 4G in Vegas, this could work out really, really well. Now most folks are paying $60 a month for their regular wireless card anyway, and this $40 deal pay as you go if you're going to be home for a few months and not need it sounds very intriguing. It really, really does. Google Real-Time Search is a new home with new tools. You definitely want to check this out. You go over to google.com/real-time, and the page is rolling out now, and it's available. So if you want to check out the new features, please do so. Go over to google.com/real-time. Love to hear you guys what you think about it. So this is over on the Google blog at googleblog.blogspot.com. And what else? I got one last article for you tonight. Wrapping up here pretty quick. As we talked about in the last show, a little bit about Mark Cuban and his financial advice of basically staying out of the stock market. He's followed this up with the best investment advice you will ever get. And I was reading through this, and I think a lot of this is common sense. And talks about credit cards, talk about cash, talking about transactional returns, saving money by using cash, and talks about those folks that have less than $100,000 in liquid assets and how you can increase your net worth by using some of these tips. I did hear on CNBC a couple of nights ago that Americans in general are reducing their credit card debt. I think this is a smart thing for everyone to follow. The average American credit card debt at this point is $5,000 as compared to a couple of years ago where it was as high as $9,000. So it shows us we're all being more careful. And those variable interest rates that they whacked upon most of us on credit cards probably are making all of us say, well, it's time to get those balances down. But I have this link up from Mark Cuban. You guys can check it out in the show notes. As always, you can send comments on tonight's show to geeknews@gmail.com or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Again, 619-342-7365. All right, I got a couple of emails here. David, I did get your application for being a show host. That's in the pile here. Thanks for that. I do appreciate that. I got an email from a press person, but I wanted to read this to you. Gizmodo did an article on the secret scam of cheap earbuds. And they talked about Avimoto and launching an earbud upgrade program where it's allowing music fans to change and upgrade their headphones, where all you need to do is send in any other brand's headphones and you'll receive a $35 voucher towards the purchase of a select Vmoda headphone. I have the link up to this in the show notes, but you definitely want to check this out. Might be worthy of a look if you like the Vmoda brand. Might be a way to save some money. And you just send them a piece of old junk headsets, you know, they don't have to work. Stick them in an envelope, right? Got an email here from Nick. He said, hey, Todd and the GNC Ohana, check out this link from Sam Boney, instructor of City College San Francisco Computer Networking Information Technology Department and network security expert. He said, I've taken his advanced ethical hacking course before, and it was loaded with great information. He said, Sam had a talk at DEF CON 2010 about IPv6. And what this is, this article is related to is IPvX, better than IPv6. And I have this link up in the show notes. He said, why isn't IPv6 backward compatible with IPv4? And then another presentation about IPvX better than IPv6. Thanks, Nick, for sending that over. I do appreciate it. Hey, I did want to talk to you guys just a second here real quick, and I don't want to pitch GoDaddy, you know, 3-4 times in the show. That's not my purpose. But they've come out with a new product. It's called a Website Protection Site Scanner. It provides daily protection against hackers, malware, and more. And this is for those of you who have a website. There are thousands of threats on the web, from malicious software to hackers and other online criminals. And this Website Protection Site Scanner helps you fix those security threats every day before they can cause security damage. So they do an automatic daily scan. It will basically review your site every day. It gives you review and fix information. You can get expert help, and you can have a badge on there to show that you are safe to the world. This is a pretty cool product. I was playing around with it today. This is a good one. So if you've got a website, you definitely want to check out. This is $6.99 a month, and you know so many websites are being hacked now. Especially if you forget to update your WordPress site and so forth. Anyway, it's a good one. I don't know if my promo codes work on this or not, but at $6.99, it might be a worthy investment. Give it a try for a couple of months. Got an email here from Robert. He said, Todd, back in GNC 591, you mentioned a developer who was bragging about getting an impressive $150 CPM on his iAds, so I thought I'd try experimenting with an ad-supported app. The article you linked to said the developer made $1,400 on the first day and that the ad had a 12% click click-through ratio. Based on my results, it appears the first day is an anomaly, since both the CPM and click-through rates drop drastically the second day. I'm not sure how a flagship app that presumably would be used in the dark got that high of a CTR compared to a less than 2% first day click-through rate for mine, which was an interactive game that can also run on its own, giving users an opportunity to view the ads, unless the first day results were due to app reviews testing the ads, which might also explain why ongoing interest in the ads by actual users is a lot less than the first day the app gets approved. The other thing I noticed is that the fill rate back in July was 35%, but has dropped now to 22%, which indicates the capacity of apps trying to serve ads is almost 5 times the number of available apps, and the gap appears to be widening as more developers release iAd-supported apps. Given these results, I guess I'll stick with developing paid Android and iPhone/iPhone apps. I just wish Apple had set up the App Store to run on a monthly subscription model rather than one-time payment, since it appears users are reluctant to pay the more than $1 based on comments I've been seeing. Things like, this is a great app, but it should be 99 cents. Thanks for the great show, Rob. And let me load this picture that he sent me here, see if it will load quickly. And he wants me the actual name. He had a average CPM of $15.59 over the last 7 days for his specific app. And, if you think about the $15.59 as a CPM rate, that's generally pretty good. YouTube CPMs are around $6. Podcast CPMs are anywhere from $15 to $25 on average. Some are lower, obviously. But he goes and shows me his how much money he's making on Android, and it's significantly more. That's for sure. He definitely was making some very good money on his sales. So it definitely, he's making more money on selling the app than he is through the iAds. But this is a good, this is great. Here we have a member of the team who has went out and been nice enough to share information with us like this. Robert, I'm going to, this is good data. It really was. I actually forwarded this over to my team, and this was very valuable to me and them, with give us a great insight into how things are going on in the ad space, and I'm going to make you an honorary insider for sending over that this great info. This really was good, and I got a lot out of it. I definitely appreciate it. So, Robert, thanks for doing this research and sending this back to me. It was well worth it. Got an email from Team Boxy today. New version of Boxy, including access to thousands of free movies, are now available. So if you haven't, make sure you get over to Boxy and upload the or actually download the new version of the application. Check it out. I want to thank Jason, Whipple, Christopher, Peter, and Jeff. I'll be getting back to you. I got an email here from Rich. Let's see what's going on with the internet. It doesn't even want to load the mail. You gotta love hotel broadband. There is absolutely nothing better in the whole world that works better. Is this thing going to crash, or is it going to show me the email? Oh, that is just lovely. Okay, is it coming? It says it's downloading the message finally. Makes me wonder. It's just like slow. Okay, here we go. Hey, Todd, Zscaler researchers have found almost 3 million fake hot video YouTube pages that lead to fake AV pages that Google has indexed. And he links me to a blog post that was posted over at research.zscaler.com. And what it is, the fake YouTube video page is covered by an invisible flash layer, and the flash object automatically redirects users to a fake antivirus page. If the user has flash disabled, the page becomes harmless. If not, it basically says, hey, you're infected, you got issues, and so forth. So kind of scary stuff. If you are going over to what you think is a YouTube site, and you you end up having this pop-up that indicates that you may be infected. Just close and back away. I'll have the link up to the show notes. Got an email here from Sam. He says, Todd, you mentioned in episode 6 of 4 that you didn't enjoy reading magazine apps in offline mode on the iPad. Yeah, because the pages didn't load. He says, what I've been using is Instapaper. It's a phenomenal iPad app that integrates with my web browser and with Twitter apps. It allows me to simply tap on a link on Twitter and send to Instapaper, or have a single click in my browser do the same. Once you've added an article to Instapaper, it saves the entire article on the iPad for offline reading. You can also categorize your articles so you can read what you want, when you want, whenever, wherever you are. This might be a great way to start getting new stuff for the show. I appreciate that. Had an email that Jason had sent us a couple of emails last show, and I found one more in the inbox. And of course, the good old speed of the internet here is, isn't that horrible when you're just waiting for it? For I'm using IMAP, and it doesn't want to load the message. Just ridiculous. Let me go on. I know what a couple of these topics are. Jeffrey said, hey, Todd, what do you think about a community tip jar? He says the one guy that talked about in the last show said that he watches 15 different podcasts, yet does... You know, he couldn't contribute to all of them. He said, but what about a community tip jar? Would that work? Oh, Jeffrey, I don't know if it would. The question, though, is, you know, what if you only get $20 in a tip jar? How do you spread that amongst 120 shows? You'd have to wait a long time before you could issue anyone a payment. That's for sure. Well, it doesn't want to load. Isn't that horrible? Okay, well, I think we're, let me look here. What else have I got? I think I'm going to have to wrap it up, folks. That's it. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for being here with me. And I know we've missed a few emails, but the hotel, you know what it is? It's about 9:19, and everyone in the hotel is using the internet. And it definitely is not up to speed whatsoever. So that's what's, it's it. That's it. Jeez. That's the first time I ever had that happen, where it actually went and load the email. Amazing. That's how bad it is. Well, I hope those of you that were on the Sprint stream tonight enjoyed the show. I should have had the Verizon card in this one, but that's it. Hey, everyone, if you've got questions or comments on the show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Be back in Honolulu for the next show. Everyone take care. Have a great weekend. Be safe out there, and we'll see you next time. Aloha.